Stephen has a daf yom in his house in Harnof every day. Also, he's in Kollel at
Nekuda Tova.
Nekuda Tova, and I invite him to come and speak. And welcome.
Okay, how are we doing? It's my pleasure to be here, even though I have to admit that I don't feel worthy, to be honest. I'm not, my public speaking engagements are limited usually to about a 4-minute drasha on Shabbos in the presence of Kugel and Herring and Chong. So that's, my wife explains, that's why people stay those 4 minutes. So here, unfortunately, I didn't have the chance to get the, to bring Chong, Kugel, or Herring perhaps next time. We'll get to that. You have to excuse me for using my notes, because when you, as we get a little deeper into the topic that I would like to talk about, maybe you'll see why I'm a bit unorganized over here. Anyways, I have a cousin who's a professor in upstate New York at Vassar College. I don't know if you've ever heard of it. He is, I don't know where you put him, but probably, you know, on the outer margins of orthodoxy, somewhere between orthodox and conservative. He's actually a self-made kind of fellow. My uncle himself did not really raise him, religious at all. So, you know, I give it to him. He pretty much, you know, his frum kite is all from him. And, and he's actually a professor of Jewish studies in Vassar College. And what he does is he had studied art, and he uses through art, using, you know, medieval art and things like that, try to analyze, you know, the way things might have been, or, you know, and then bring in maybe various Rishonim supporting, you know, extreme theories and things like that. Anyways, so he was here this summer visiting, and we're talking about, I was like, so what do you teach? How do you do it? He's kind of like, you know, just basic Chumash. I was like, oh, really? He's like, and then he says, you don't understand what it's like to teach the Akedah to someone who doesn't know what's going to happen at the end. And like, I think to myself, that's very interesting, you know? He's like, afterwards he sort of admitted to me that it's pretty much the non-Jewish students that are most interested, but, you know, there is a key of opportunity here and there. But that got me thinking a little bit, right, about that idea of the Akedah. What's another scenario, another possibility? So, truth is, obviously, what he was referring to is, let's say, Hashem said, shecht him, and he shechted him, and, you know, that was the end of the story, went back home. And, you know, Sarah said, where's our son? And he's like, well, truth is, I didn't tell you, but, you know, et cetera, et cetera. But to rewrite history like that in my own mind, again, I grew up from, and this is from my thing, that was an impossibility. I couldn't even consider that. But I did have something which I had run across once before. Now, Hashem comes to Avram Avinu, right? And he says, listen, this is what I want you to do. I want you to shecht your son. Actually, there's a little parentheses over here. Once heard. So Avram Avinu goes and proceeds with the question, you know, which son? I have 2 sons, So Hashem has to tell him, no, it's Yitzchak. If he didn't ask so many questions, maybe we would have less trouble today. But anyway, I was brought up in yeshiva. They say it's not considered racial if it's funny. So drew a little bit of what you call it. That doesn't necessarily. There's nothing political about that. Anyway, so Avraham Avinu, he's got this question. But now let's understand this, right? So Hashem says, "Come kill your son Yitzchak." So no, there are 7 commandments, right? 7 Noahide commandments. Which the Gentiles have to keep, and Avraham Avinu included. One of them is do not kill. Not simply, let's forget about it's his son, forget even about the fact that, which the Gemara says, which was actually considered to be, you know, a praise to Avraham Avinu. He didn't start questioning, wait a minute, didn't you just tell me we're supposed to have a big nation for me? Forget about that. Let's just talk strictly halachic, which I think really, again, my opinion, sorry, let me just backtrack one little caveat over here, which is, like I said, I'm not accustomed so much to public speech. I don't even consider myself anyone that can offer too much motivation. I could do is speak about myself, really. So I'm just really blending with you. So if I talk a little bit more about myself, I don't want to. I'm hoping that people perhaps are experiencing some of the questions that I have, but Actually, I just heard an interesting interview on the radio the other day. Just flipping through the radio, and it was an Israeli interviewer. He had some English rocker that was here for a concert or something on the thing. So he was just trying to talk to him in English. He's trying to talk to him in English to ask him the questions. And the question was, basically, it was, he's trying to say that your songs are very personal and, you know, your things are always talking about your own, you know, life and things, and you don't seem to, you know, he meant it, you know, in a positive way, that you're not, you know, you're not necessarily going to comment, you know, or you know, detract anyone's thing, but just the way it came out with this Hebrew and everything was like, you know, it just came out that way. It's like, you know, you're always just talking about yourself. So the guy very frankly just, hang on, I don't have the English accent, just answered. He's like, well, you want me to sing about you? I don't know you. You know, he's like, the only guy I know really is me. So I'm kind of thinking about that now a little bit. Like I said, I'm not accusing anyone or anything. I'm just telling you from my own experience. But anyways, so let's get back to this question. It's a halachic issue. Kadosh Baruch Hu, God himself, comes to Avraham Avinu. Avraham Avinu is a... okay, he's a prophet, great, he's a Navi. And Hashem says to him, I want you to kill. Now, we know, we find in the Torah, right? In the Torah, it says, there's a specific pasuk, right? That comes along. The pasuk comes along, when Hashem is telling Moshe Rabbeinu, I want you to tell them that after you're passing, they're right, there are going to be other prophets, right? And you are required to listen to them, do not go against their word, and then there's an extra positive commandment. Elov tishma'un. You shall listen to him, referring to those prophets. So Rashi explains, based on Gemara's, what's this extra thing? You just said, don't go against the word, right? If he gives you a sign, listen. Elav tishmon. So Rashi explains, Elav tishmon means, even if he tells you to go against the Torah, even if he tells you to go against the Torah, Rashi gives a few examples. Most classic is Eliyahu Hanavi, says in Har Carmel, right? Where he offers a sacrifice outside of the temple at a time when it is forbidden, right? People were like, whoa, can't do that. So no, we have a thing that, again, the halacha is temporarily. In other words, for what's called a hara'acha, for a moment, just a time out, this is what God said, he loved Tishma. Okay, so now, so Avraham Avinu, right? He's a lamdan, right? He knows how to learn a little bit. He says, now, let me understand. Once the Torah is given, right, Hashem tells me that, listen, if a prophet tells you something against the law, you may, or you have to listen to him. Now, he says, that's very nice. That's for a Jew who is given the Torah. But me, before the Torah is given, right? Before the Torah is given, I'm not allowed to listen to a prophecy, right? I'm a prophet. I heard it, fine. But I'm not allowed to listen to a prophecy that goes against what Hashem already commanded. And one of his commandments was, do not kill. Not only that, Avraham Avinu thinks to himself, he says, you know, God's been testing me lately, you know? God's been testing. This is the test! This is the ultimate test! He comes with his own mouth and says, kill. And the test is, am I going to pass and say, sorry, God, no. You told me once before, don't kill. Is that a valid argument? I saw this, I mean, my own, I saw this in a safer once, that was the question. But I just want to use this, right? This thing, that, like I said, to me, that was, if I wanted to change the scenario, you know what? And I don't know, maybe that would be a good argument. God would say, okay, you know, this is, you know, it's not pass, fail, it's, you know, there's different, you have a different opinion. I kind of expected you to listen to me, but you know what? Abraham, that was a pretty good one. I didn't think of that, right? So, if that is, like I said, if this is a theoretical situation, how did Avraham Avinu, what was going on? How did he know? Why was it? You don't find any hesitation or anything like that. Avraham Avinu, boom, right away, got this. Like I said, certainly the world literally was on his shoulders in that situation. You can't imagine that it was so simple. Right? But yet he proceeded with it. Not only that, the Ishbosheth says even a little bit more astounding. He says the opening passage over there, right? It says Elokim Nisa es Avram, right? Achad Varam Elokim Nisa, God, right? Now he says, what's this lashon of Elokim that is used over here? He says, right? Usually the name, right? We know the Yudke Vavke, right? Refers to like a clear vision, right? Elokim, right? That's what in fact, right? When we talk about idols and things like that, right? We refer to them as Elohim Acherim, In other words, just words, you know, some kind of powers, deities. It's not a clear vision. So he wants to say, again, you don't have to accept this 100%, but he wants to even say that that was part of it. If God would have tapped him on the shoulder very simply and say, this is what you have to do, right? It'd be no question for Avraham Avinu. He said, we got to do it. But he said, rather Hashem, that was the point. Hashem came in this sort of like foggy type of vision to the point where like, he's like thinking to himself, you know, I think Hashem is telling me to shech my son. Now, I mean, if that's the way it came through to him, you know, this is, you know, it would seem to be so. And that's even all the more, you know, just astounding. How does he go ahead with this? So the truth is, just leave this aside for a second. When Rav Hanan called me on the phone over here and asked me to speak, so the truth is, exactly at the time you're saying, I got a Daf Yomi shiur. So it was like right then I had members coming into the shiur. Now, problem is, we're in a bomb shelter over there, and there's no klita on the phone, right? So I had to still be across from my house, but I couldn't go inside. Okay, so the guys are like waiting, and you know, a little antsy. I'm sorry, I was a little antsy on the phone. Yeah, no, and like thinking, like he's asking. First of all, like I said, I hope this is not something I necessarily do. And there, in the meantime, then I remembered about 10 minutes before, there was this friend of mine. His wife sells shirts, but they live up in Carmel. And they had a customer in my neighborhood and left these shirts that the person was supposed to pick up. Now, this fellow apparently is like a giant or something like that. So these shirts are taking up my whole living room. Like, literally. Literally, these three huge, extra, extra large shirts. And my wife was getting kind of annoyed. This is already from last week. So finally, Erev Shabbos, we had to, after, again, move the shirts to here, to here, to here, to here, all around, you know. Finally, you come, the last thing, we're setting the table. The shirts can't be on the table. So I told my daughter, okay, fine, put it in the back. People never, of course, 10 minutes before Hanan called, the woman who was expecting the shirts, finally she calls and she's, what you call it. And so far, I was like, okay, great, you know what I mean? I'm finally getting this chesed for, you know, for her, for my friend, getting this thing taken care of. But she's, you know, being very slow, questioning, asking me to describe them every day. I'm like, I was getting a little bit edgy. I usually like to go, you know, to go use the restroom before I go to shiur. It's like, so, okay, so she said, can I come? And I was like, yeah. She's like, okay, I'll be there in 15 minutes. I'm like, oh, no, 15 minutes is like right the beginning of the shiur, exactly. And remember, she can't even call me because if she calls, there's no cliton there. So I'm looking out the window the whole time to try to think of this. And then so I get the call from Hanan, and he conveniently enough says, oh, get back to me as soon as you can, because I got to make sure. So now I got this on my head also. I'm like, I can't even think about it. I'm like, but I don't know. I think that we all have in ourselves some kind of, you know, some kind of like mini Mashiach kind of thing. You know, like someone asks you to do something, you know, just first, your first reaction is got to be, yeah, I got to do it. If somebody needs something, I got to do it. Yeah. Could you mind taking the shirts? Yeah, let's do it. You got, so, of course, but I couldn't figure out when, like, is he, the whole time of the shiur, I didn't call him right afterwards, I'll admit, but of course, the whole time of the shiur, in the back of my head, this mini Messiah is thinking about Rav Hanan sitting there, just pulling out his beard, thinking, okay, is he going to call? Is he not going to call? What is he going to do? What is he going to say? What you call it? So, fine. So I'm walking out of the shiur, and of course the lady comes in. Believe me, it was the wrong shirts. There was the wrong size. That was the fellow. What they do is they're selling shirts. They bring them from America, so they bring them in suitcases, but they have to take them out of the packages. You know the whole shtick. So it doesn't look. She was like, these are used shirts. I'm like, listen, I was just trying to help out here. I don't know anything about this, you know. So the shirts are back in the living room now. Okay, she didn't take them. Okay, so fine. So I'm about to call up Hanan, and then I remember. Oh no, the car, the Heliga car. What's the Heliga car? Now, the way I get back and forth from yeshiva every single day is with my car, Baruch Hashem. Because in the morning, I'm supposed to. Well, actually, today I got here at 10. I'm supposed to be my cola at 10 every day. It doesn't really happen. And then I go home at night. Got to be at the Daf Yomi at 8. Anyways, just I've tried old buses. The way it is with the car. So the car now is the most holy vehicle in Jerusalem. because it takes Akiva Weinstein to and from his such important events. Now, my car recently started leaking some water over there in the radiator. Okay, so I was ignoring it. It was working, but you never know when if I'm going to be called on some real Mashiach mission. Someone's going to say, "Oh, can you drive me to Meiron?" You know what I mean? In which case, I'm going to, you know, of course, you know, here he comes. Let's go. So I got to get this thing. That's the thing that's on my mind this morning. After this, and the other thing. And the truth is, I have to tell you the truth now. Until now, like I said, I'm perfect, right? But when I was, I woke up a drop late, so I haven't davened yet. You understand? Usually I daven before the daf yomi, but on this particular day, I woke up a drop late, had to get the kids out, you know, right before I knew it. It's a quarter to two, so I still have to, I got to daven. And the mechanic told me, make sure the car's there in the morning. So now I'm like, okay, what's more important, davening or this car? Obviously the car is more important. I mean, the car is just my access to the eternal life, right? What's davening, and, you know? Anyways, as it's all going through my mind, I said to myself that, you know, I think that this is the topic. This is the topic of what we're talking about. You know what? I'm looking around, and indeed, everybody here is a big, big tzaddik. What am I going to come up with? I'm sure you know, it's in Sfarim, whenever I talk about the Yetzer Hara or the Natu, that's, I think, we are all beyond that, right? We're all good. We only do good. But what happens when good conflicts with good? Right? You want to do this. You want to. I want to daven. I want to learn. I want to do chesed. I want to help my wife. I want to do his bite. Somebody was once quoting one of the rabbis from here. Yeah, you got to do it. Spite it is for 10 hours. You got to learn for 10 hours. You got to be helping your wife for 5 hours. You got to, you know, you figure it out. In the average day, after 45 hours, right? So then you find, of course, and then the Rambam says, of course, you have to get some exercise too. So of course, there's an hour of that. And then sleep, you know, that's Rav Shach said, every yeshiva guy should get 7 hours of sleep. Okay. So perfect, there it is, 77 hours in a 24-hour day, and Baruch Hashem, I got it. How do I decide? So the truth is, I can't lie. There are halachos about these things, about precedence and things, right? Because it, to me, the most common conflict really is person studies, person's thing. Oh, I forgot to mention that, of course. What am I doing here now? Don't think that I don't have a job in a kollel, right, which I'm responsible to be at right now, and I don't have a chavruso who's probably wondering where I am over here, right? So, of course, that's somewhere in the back of my mind, but so I have to make the messianic decision and say, well, this is pikuach nefesh, right? Obviously, you gotta go save the world, you know what I mean? So, okay, fine. So here I am, Baruch Hashem, saving the world. My chavrusa will have to figure it out. But, you know, that's also, that I'm not like, should I eat something not kosher or not? I'm good and gooder, just I can't figure out which one it is. What am I supposed to be doing? Am I in the mikvah? Am I in davening? Simple davening. I got a shul that the pace is a little bit quicker than mine, you know? So my Shmon Esrei usually runs into Chazaras Hashatz. But what about Kedusha? What about Kedusha? Well, what do you do? What am I supposed to do? I never say Kedusha? Or do I just cut my Shmon Esrei short? You know? So like I said, these things probably in halacha it's discussed. But let's put that aside. We'll get back to the halachic angle before. Later, I'm sorry. That, or I'm actually a Kohen, right? So sometimes, actually, when I was really from, my Shmon Esrei used to run, not just into Chazaras Hashatz, up until Birkas Kohanim. So I just, you know, I said, my Shmon Esrei is very, you know, I'm not going to stop my Shmon Esrei. But anyways, one day there was no Kohen there, and a fellow I know who is a accomplished posek in the neighborhood, he comes over to me, he's like, where were you? What was going on? Why was there no Kohen? I was like, I was a little Shmon Esrei. I was a Mishmon Esrei. He's like, wake up a little bit earlier. I was like, no, it's on time. I just have a long Shmon Esrei. He's like, long Shmon Esrei? Who told you your Shmon Esrei is more important than blessing the people? And that I took pretty much as his psalm. And I was like, this, you know, that's crazy. Okay, so far. So finally, I had my topic, right? What do we do with it? Till I didn't get a chance really to crystallize my ideas, what I want to talk, you know, use as examples or even, I don't even know where I'm going with this, but I decided I'm going to come home tomorrow. Last night, this was. I'm going to come home, and I'm going to, you know, we have on, it's a little complicated, we have the Daf Yomi at night time on, what was last night? I don't remember anymore. Wednesday night after the Daf Yomi, okay, I'm going to clear my head, and I'm going to sit down and write down some ideas. So I come home from Daf Yomi and everything, and my wife greets me, how you doing, this and this, and she's like, oh, by the way, I didn't give you, my wife is a midwife, it's actually, I know Rav Hanan, his wife as well, so they have sort of erratic schedules, and she's like, oh, by the way, I'm working Thursday night. Right, I'm working the whole night Thursday night, so therefore I'd like to do the cooking tomorrow. Cooking tomorrow? Oh, cooking tomorrow. Okay, so I was like, so you're going shopping? Is that what you're telling me? Like, she's like, no, I'm too tired. You're going shopping. You're going shopping. I thought, so I said, listen, you know, I didn't tell you about this, but I think I'm supposed to give a little address at the Chutz Chesed tomorrow, and, you know, I was going to use this, you know, tonight to what you call it. So she's like, okay, so you're going to save the world. She even used those words. You're going to save the world and we won't eat for Shabbos. I was like, okay. And then I paused for a minute and like trying to, you know, when you could still, there's some damage control that you still could do it. But then she's going, she adds in, she's like, your guests won't eat for Shabbos. And that one, right over here. What are my guests? There he goes again. Yeah, Mr. Superman. What happened was like this. I got this niece who's in school over here in Yeshiva. And there's a couple of them. But she kind of, you know, if you don't invite her, actually, she doesn't come along. She had a little trouble. So the other night, she just happened to be, she walked into the house during dinner time and we're schmoozing and everything. So I figured, okay, this is a graft. And now my wife did mention that she kind of this week wanted to just, you know, have the week off and everything. But again, this is because Nefesh sitting in front of me. This is not, you know what I mean? This is like, what you want? What can I do? I was like, you know, we haven't seen you in so long. Why did you come for Shabbos? She's like, yeah, but can my three friends come also? I was like, yeah, bring the three friends. Everything. So, you know, because I'm not a bad guy. I don't hate my wife or anything. You know, I just, you know, want her to be Mashiach also. I don't know. So this is, okay, so fine. So she finishes with that your guests thing. Okay, so this is, you know, it's getting a little bit late. Then I have to daven. So, okay, davening. The davening shopping for Shabbos thing. I've had that also. Plenty of times, Mr. Messiah said, you know what? There's a minion in Osherah. That's where I go shopping anyway. I'll go shopping. I'll go daven. So I go shopping, do the whole thing. There I come home, finally get everything, all the packages out, 12:30 at night. Lying, you finally get into my bed. And then that, oh no, my riff thing. You know? And then, you know, I'm almost ready to just turn over and say, listen, you know, you saved the day. You got the whole Shabbos, you know? And what you call it, but of course you got to do that. So, okay, so this time I'm a smart guy. I said, you know what? I'm going to go to Daven Ma'ariv. And as I'm on my way to Daven Ma'ariv, I said, oh, what a genius. What a genius, because my son is going to come home from yeshiva very soon. And part of what I have to go shop for is he's in high school over here, and they Thursday nights they stay up late, so I always make a challah for them. So I'm going to tell them, I said, listen, we didn't, you know, get the ingredients for your challah and everything. Come help me do the shopping and everything. Okay, great. So I do that. So I go to Daven, I come back, I tell him, and he like looks at me like this. He was about to go. Now this guy, the truth is, he gets up like 5 o'clock in the morning. I've never seen him in the morning at all. Like, really, what you call it? And now I'm schlepping him into my Mashiach thing. Okay, here we go. We're going to go do good. We're going to do everything. Let's go. We're going to go shop for Shabbos. We're going to save the world. Mommy's going to be able to cook tomorrow. The guests for Shabbos will have to eat everything. Gevalding. And I'm like, well, I got this chair I'm supposed to give tomorrow. I said, I got one thing. I have a topic. And you know what? I begin to realize that, you know what I mean? I could just take any half hour of my life, maybe, and then talk about that. And that's what it is. And yeah, somebody, he's not even here. I don't know what happened to him. Like, what's the topics? I don't know. So I guess one word, maybe, would be, you could say priorities. Priorities. But, right, that sounds like very rigid structure. So I'll tell you something. This is something I heard. Is there a Mutter Frank? He gives a shir in our kolo. He quoted, I don't know exactly where it is, but he quoted Rav Nosson. Rav Nosson said the following, something which this like connected to what I just did. He says, every Jew needs a structure. You have to have a structure. You have to have a schedule. You've got to pull out that pen and paper. 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, what you call it. But he says, he finishes by saying, but woe is to he that keeps it. Woe is to he that keeps it. What is his point? Get up in the morning and say, you know, I'm going to do things, da, 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 da. Aren't there important things that come up? Aren't there certain things? There was actually in America, is a yeshiva. I'm sure you've heard of the Lakewood Yeshiva. Beis Medrash Gavoa, Lakewood Yeshiva. So over there was a mashgiach, right? The one who was in charge of the head mashpia over there. So he had this roof, that, right? We know certainly in the Litvish Yeshiva, it's El time. Right? I mean, in our places, nobody's around, but in the Litvish Yeshivas, El is like the most serious time. Everybody has to be there. Every moment, it's what you call it. Now, in this yeshiva, it happens to be that it's students that are of marriageable age, and there's a lot of them, so they're constantly weddings, and all the more so during El time, people make their weddings, because no one wants to get married during the summer, during Beit Hazman, because everyone's traveling, moving, this, no one's going to come to your wedding. So the best time to get married is, of course, El. Everyone's in yeshiva. And, of course, well, we know that. There's halacha. There's a Gemara. Mevatlin Talmud Torah, right? L'achnasas kala. That's one of the things it says that, you know, if you have a mitzvah to do achnasas kala, to do the, which, again, was used more colloquially as giving the money, but the literal translation is joining in the wedding procession. Great, you know? So that's it. Everyone has an excuse, right? So there's also, we'll see about that also. I think everyone also has that a little bit. Sometimes you have a wedding, you have something like that, you have to decide whether it's worth it, but let's just leave that. So he decided one year that, listen, this is the thing. He told everyone before they left for the summer break, he says, listen, there are no weddings. Again, whoever set their wedding, whatever it is, but there are no weddings during El anymore, and none of the students are going to be permitted to go during El. That was it. So, of course, like you said, you had a couple of fellows that already had their wedding set up and everything. So what happened? They came, I was questioned, he said, no, I'm sorry. Sorry, rule's a rule. This is the end of the story, we can't have it. But what did he do? He himself went to each and every one of those weddings. He went to each and every one of those weddings. Somebody asked him, what's going on? What's going on? And he said exactly that. He said, I want to tell people, yeah, we have a rule. We have a rule over here, and it's very important, but you should know, there's always going to be something more important than something that's important. There's no such thing as an absolute. And I think that's exactly what Rav Nosson was trying to tell us over there. Rav Nosson is trying to tell us that, of course, you got to start with a schedule. You can't be all over the place, right? You can't be all over the place, but schedule. But you have to realize that there are going to be things which conflict. Good. Another example. It was the said another example where you're allowed to be mevatel Talmud Torah, right? Which I think we all had the schus, right? Rabbi Avadia Yosef's Sefer Lebracha, Sefer Tzadik Lebracha, his Levaya, right? Last week or two ago, right? So we know they came out, right? Everyone closed their gemaras, right? Everyone closed their gemaras to join in this, right? Funeral procession. It's Kavod Torah. It was a Kiddush Hashem. Every single thing, you know, because over here, I don't think anyone had a question, right? Should I go, shouldn't I go, right? Now, happens to be that what? There's the I again. I had a wedding that night, okay? I had a wedding that I was supposed to go to that night. Okay, so I figured, you know, no one really knew what the time zone, but the times are. Truly, it wasn't somebody that I was so super close to that I had to be there at the chuppah, but it was somebody, a semi-student of mine hand-delivered me an invitation. Like, it was like, I can't not go. But I was like, okay, you know, it's a long evening. So I went straight from my yeshiva to the levaya. My wife called me up that my son, 11-year-old son, wants to go to the levaya. And she had to work that night, so she had to go to sleep, and she wasn't able to attend. But he really wanted to go, so she's sending him along with my brother. Okay, you don't have to get the family thing. With my brother, or whatever it was, I had to find my son somewhere in the crowd. So, anyways, phone calls back and forth, you know, and, you know, I mean, the streets that I walk every day, but no one, and my brother-in-law, so neither of us, you know the names of the streets. He's like, you know, the windy street. I'm like, yeah, I'm on the windy street. No, the other windy street. Oh, you know, with the store, with the fish store. Yeah, I'm in the fish store. The other fish store. Anyway. I said, okay, so probably you spent about an hour and a half just like that. I hope you don't eat kavana to be yotzei the mitzvah of Levaya, because I certainly didn't have my mind on that. So finally I got my son now, so we tried to listen to the hespid, if we understood the, between people talking, okay, fine. Then they're ready to begin the procession to walk. So everyone is sent to go down towards Bar Ilan Street. Right? So of course, the whole time I'm looking at my watch, I've got to get this wedding, what's going to be? Okay, so I'm going. So we finally get down to Bar Ilan, and I remember we were by Rabbi Yashiv Zechut Tzadik Livrachos Levaya also a year or two ago. And I remember standing on the corner there for 5 minutes, 10 minutes, a half hour, and every minute somebody's on the phone with their friend. 5 minutes, they're coming. That's them. It's okay. So everyone cranes their neck out. And these people just come by, and no, it's not them. Okay, so this is going on a half hour, 45 minutes. My son, he's only 11 years old. 45 minutes to 11 years old is 45 years. And he's suddenly, I want to get out of here. And he also didn't bring his jacket. It was a little bit chilly. He's like, let's go home. Let's go home. This is it. This is what we've been waiting for the whole time. This is finally, we're going to have, right? Mirat Hashem, the car is going to pass by. We're going to be able to accompany the thing, But then, okay, so I said, 2 minutes, 2 minutes, the 2 minutes thing, because the guy next to me said that his friend on the corner said that it was 2 minutes. Anyways, so it's going on, and this is every 5 minutes he's like, let's go. And I'm got a serious dilemma over here. You know what I mean? Mr. Mashiach has got trouble on the one hand. Here I am. Over here, you don't have to be Mashiach every time Dick and Harry is here. I'm going to leave now? Are you crazy? But then on the other hand, this is my son. This is for the rest of his life. That's what he's going to remember every time they talk about Rabbi Abadio Yosef. My father made me stand there. That's what I need, And I'm really it was torn, and of course, and in between that whole thing, there's the wedding that I gotta worry about. We'll see in a moment what the outcome of that was per se. But let's just leave this for a second. Talk maybe a more. This was more practical, but now just in a philosophical sense. Anybody think about the following question? Right, following question. What is, right? Hashem created a world. What was the purpose of the world? Now, the purpose of the world, I'll give you, in terms of my question, I'll give you the two choices. You can't make up your third. But what did Hashem want? Hashem, had this thing called the Torah, right? Had this Torah, it says, right? Bereishis, right? That Hashem had this Torah, which he wanted, which is basically his word, right? His word in this world. This is what I want. I want my word to get out. I want essentially my glory. As the Pesuk says, everything I've created, lichvodi barasiv, I've created for my glory. How is Hashem going to send that into the world? Through this thing called the Torah. Now, the problem is, the Torah doesn't work for itself, right? I need someone to implement, right? I need someone to implement the Torah. So Hashem said, great. I got this nation. I got these guys, the Jews. I think they're the ones for the job. But according to, right? But again, over here, in this understanding, really the ultimate purpose that we're looking for over here is the Torah and the word of Hashem. Right? The function, right, of us as Jews, it's a great schus and everything, but our function really is only to bring that word of Hashem into this world. Right? Or, is that the problem? Or no. The truth is, Hashem, as Chazal say, Bereishis Bishvil Yisrael, God created the world, why? For us. For us. He said, I've got these guys that are Yisrael, right? And they need this. They need this. It's a great gift to them. They're going to be able to earn their way into eternity and everything. The only thing is, Hashem said, I can't just send them out on their own. So I'm going to give them over here this little rule book, right? I'm just going to tell them exactly how to earn their way. So Hashem didn't mean the Torah per se. Hashem really meant us. Meant us as Jews, right? We are the purpose. But the Torah was a way, again, for us, that was just a way for us to earn, right, our way in all. What, again, so here's the thing. What is it? Is it the Torah, which I'm saying is even more. In other words, Hashem almost, right? The Word of God. That is the ultimate purpose right? The Jews are to implement that. Or is it, no, Batsim is the Jews and the Torah is just to help us. Anybody have any? So, like I said, my idea always is you got to start with halacha. You got to start with halacha. So the first thing off the bat, anybody thinks, is like, what do you mean? The Torah says, v'chai b'hem, right? V'chai b'hem, we have a mitzvah. You have to live by the Torah. And the Gemara says, v'lo she'yamas b'hem. But not chas v'shalom. You shouldn't have to die because of the Torah. If somebody on Shabbos, someone puts a gun to your head and says, listen, be mechal Shabbos, or else I'll kill you. Of course you could be mechal Shabbos, right? Of course you could be mechal Shabbos. Why? Because v'chai b'hem. So of course, Jews win. Jews win. The whole Torah is just for us. If the Torah goes against my life, of course, that's very good. Except we go one step further. We know there are three mitzvahs in that very same Torah, right? And which is the exact opposite, right? Avodah Zarah, someone says, do Avodah Zarah. Someone says, Gila Raya, Shvichus Dam, any of those big three, right? You have to give up your life, right? You got to give up your life for it. So, again, in halacha, or a simple halacha from there, I'm pretty confident that you're going to find conflicting indications. You're going to find conflicting in indications about that. Who's the, what that has to do. But now, let's take it one step further. But what happens when, like I said, when they do come head to head? When they do come head to head, let's talk about things that we were discussing now. I think in most cases, that's really what it is. That's really what it is. Like I said, the classic situation is a person has his learning, has his Torah study, right? And then he has a chance to do some kind of outside chesed, if it is, or someone that says, do me a favor, can you go get something for me? Can you, or someone just sits down for a shmooze. And you can tell that this fellow is in need of some kind of companionship. So, what do I do? It's the Torah, and this saying is maybe a more practical. The Torah, which is the word of Hashem, almost, against the Jew. A Jew is first of all, this fellow who's in the need, and then it's also myself. My action, this that I have to do, is really, it's helping me. It's developing me. So what's the more important of it? So the truth is, the Gemara has this discussion of what's greater. Talmud, right? Talmud, which means Torah study, or Maisa, action, right? And to be truthful, once again, on the practical, I promise you that any question you're going to come up with, a Shaila, very simple, if Rabbi Avadia was alive at Rabbi Avadia's funeral and I was able to ask him, he would tell me exactly what to do. But there are things, there are questions that you have which are on the moment. How about this one? There's a famous story in Novartek, if I'm not mistaken, I don't remember the thing, but basically what happened was one of the elder Rashi Yeshivas, he got psicha for the Sefer Torah. He got psicha for the Sefer Torah, and he was weakly or whatever it was, and he tripped. Dropped the Sefer Torah and fell on the floor. Okay? Now, we could, in the story now, freeze it for a moment, right? Freeze the moment, and there they are, right? But just imagine, anyone who's there at the time, what do? I have to call Rabbi Yashiv now and say, listen, we have a situation over here. We got a man down, and we got a Sefer Torah down. Which one should I go for first? Right? Now, obviously, that right wasn't what you called. So, of course, everyone, natural instinct really was they jumped for the Sefer Torah, to pick up the Sefer Torah. And there was one level-headed, the other Rosh Yeshiva over there, he said, no, Rav Daniel first. That was the one who fell down. I forgot the names. It was Rav Daniel's name. Rav Daniel first. You pick him up first. Leave the Torah over there. Now again, that was like a shy. Like I said, it's a question of you know of good. We'll see if he really was. We'll see if he really. I mean, he was, but we'll see how he answered. I'm saying, but there are those questions on. You know, simple. I'm driving my car, and I'm like, you know, somebody wants a lift over here, and you know I got a babysitter that's at home that is waiting for me, and I'm 10 minutes late to start with. Of course, she can understand, but then of course she gets home, and her father starts yelling at her because she didn't come home because her mother had to go to exercise, and they didn't do that before. You know that, you know, I caused an entire, you know, so So I should stop to pick this guy up. Or my wife once by used to do that. You know, you let somebody off on the side of the road. My wife pointed that to me. She's like, look behind you. There's like five cars that just stopped because of you. You have to pull over to the side. I'm like, hey, Mashiach doesn't pull over, you know? I'm getting this guy, and he's whatchamacallit. It's just, anyway, so in that story, I see you getting a little bit off. I guess I should head towards the answer to all, not the answer, what should be our thing. Oh, John, yeah, I need a sichus haran. Is that possible? Is that one? If it's not in the room, then I'll sort of.
I don't have
one. Okay, we'll work.
I'm going downstairs.
No, don't run, please, stay.
Is it English or not?
No, it's all right. Don't worry about it. It's just for the end. It's for the end. It's the whatever. I don't want to give away the ending. So let's just try to get our thing. Like I said, we have the first. The basic idea is that we're tzaddik. We're tzaddik, and we want to do everything right. But in our lives, like I said, I don't know if you have. Like I said, obviously, married people, single people, they have different conflicts. But I think everyone has to, right? Everyone has to have this. I, just to backtrack for a little bit, I was, like I said, I went as a child in yeshiva from yeshivas, the kindergarten through the, whatever it was through high school. And just the way it works with a child, I mean, the only thing a child really can do is to learn. Right, you can't teach him. His emotions are underdeveloped. You know, there's certain etiquette he can't, what you call it. But to teach a kid a pasuk, read the pasuk, translate the pasuk, memorize the pasuk, answer it back, that works. So again, as a kid, that's pretty much the way I was grown up, and therefore I got this very, very, whether again not even from a religious angle or anything, just from the indoctrination of it, just this very, very rigid approach to Torah study. And then I carried on to in high school, and like I said, I wasn't necessarily a good kid even. I was always the guy getting in trouble, but I never missed a day. I literally never missed a day. I didn't even understand that guys, that just would not show up. And this is even not even necessarily in the Hebrew studies, even the secular studies. Like, it just didn't make sense to me, almost. You know what I mean? Just like, this, it was so, I was so focused without even thinking about being focused. It was, and this continued through my youth. Then, I think, after high school, I had a little, a little lapse, maybe for a year or two. I won't even discuss that right now, but I got back to yeshiva afterwards. Also, it was just with this single-mindedness. I didn't even realize that it was so ingrained in me, and I was like a machine. Literally like a machine. I was like, like we said before, the guy at the 7 o'clock, 7:01, except I didn't have Rav Nosson's little caveat over there. What was it? I was like the opposite. I was like, everything has to be. I gotta be up, out of bed at this time, having a coffee and a cigarette at this time, in shul at this time, putting on my tefillin, like this. And, I thought it was great. It was great. I was learning Gemara. It was everything that was done. You know what I mean? It was nothing. Again, we had, after hours, we enjoyed ourselves. It wasn't like, just this crazy mastin or anything, but I was just so, it was such a focus. Then I got married, right? Got married, and I continued on that same exact thing. My wife would do very well. This is just my schedule. This is everything. And, she didn't even have cell phones, so it wasn't so difficult, to just walk off in the morning and, say, if there's an emergency or something, I don't know, whatever, you could, call the cops or something, they'll find me. It was pretty easy. And, we had a baby, and also, it was still the same thing. I'll do my duties at night or whatever it is, but I'm, that in the morning, I got to be in shul by 7 o'clock, which means I got to get up at 6:30. I got my, what I had in those days? I had a coffee machine on a timer. I was like so perfect. And that's the thing, my alarm went up and I heard that from the kitchen. That in those old days, those drip ones. Still the best kind of coffee. Alright? Anyways, it goes up, there it is, okay. Worked it out by the time I had to get out of the bathroom, brush my teeth, my coffee was gonna be ready, grab it, go on the repressed, cigarette, go back to the bathroom, perfect, come out, go across the street to shul, It was like, and that was it. So I was doing that for a couple of years. So we had a baby, and One day, and again, now where did I get this? I was in this yeshiva, very, very straight, like I said, they were like a Torah, 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 Torah. One day, one of the rabbis calls me over. He says, I'd like to talk to you a little bit. He's like, you know, how are things going? I was like, yeah, you know, we're in there. Yeah, somebody I was pretty close to him, at least, you know, it's funny, because like in that yeshiva, let's go close to the fellow. I probably never said a word to him outside of the base matters, but we, you know, we discussed Gemara and stuff like that. That was when I was called close. So he tells me, he's like, you know, maybe you should spend some more time with your wife. I was like, looking at this guy. Now, the craziest story with this fellow was that he was the bashkiach there. He had given, like I said, in those days there was no cell phones. We had this kolel, right? It was about 20 guys, and there was one ring-a-ding phone. So all day long, right, the phone ring off the thing. This guy go get this guy, this. Anyway, he had gotten up about a week before that, and he did a speech. He's like, he made this whole schmooze. That's terrible. People, they're calling all day. You have a leaky toilet, so your wife calls you in the middle of learning. You know, doesn't anybody have respect? You're going to explain to them what you're doing here is more important than the toilet. You'll fix it when you get home. Blah, 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 blah. You know, the whole thing. And that's it. No one's going to, for now on, if the phone rings, don't answer the phone. Don't answer. Okay. Literally the next day, phone's ringing, and of course everyone, you know, the schmooze lasts at least, you know, 4 hours. This was like the next morning, and the schmooze was giving it, and so people were like, you know, they're about to jump up, but they remembered, oh, okay, fine, hey, don't answer the phone. It rings. Okay, fine. It rings. Anyways, finally, somebody picks the phone. Sure enough, what happened was, unfortunately, one of the guy's child fell and cut a gash in his head, and his wife was hysterical, and, you know, and at that point, I realized, like, you know what I mean? Like, you know, that's exactly what we're saying. You make your rules and your no and your absolutes and whatchamacallit. You can't. There's always something more important. So he got his lesson from that. This is a week later, he comes over to me and he says that maybe you should spend some more time with your wife. I was like, you know, what do you mean? Like, you know? So he's like, well, she actually called me. I was like, really? Anyway, so it turned out, you know, here, this guy, this Mashiach guy over here, is doing everything exactly what he's supposed to do, mechanically, never missing a moment, never missing a beat, and now suddenly she's got a problem. I don't understand, you know? So, it's like, oh, there's other things. So, okay, so I'm like, okay, fine. So there I am, the next night, I said, let's go out to dinner. So instead of being at night seder, which I've done every day of my life for the last, like, 7 years, you know, there I am, strolling down Ben Yehuda Street with my wife, and I'm like, you know, this is a lot easier than learning, you know? I think I could dig this, you know? Like, I'm thinking to myself, this is, you know, this just doesn't feel right. You know, what's going on up here? Like I said, I want to do the right thing. Anyways, it was around, interestingly enough, around the same time, right? Sorry, is there a...
7 minutes.
7 minutes? Yeah, okay. So around the same time, just to get to the point there, around the same time, I had actually, it's actually an interesting way, I mean, if it makes a difference, but about Breslov and things like that, what happened was, we had this, like I said, my son was already getting 2-3 years old, and, you know, I didn't have that much time in my life to do that, but you know, anytime I listen to music and things like that, so me and my wife, we usually pull out some, you know, some old Led Zeppelin or Pink Floyd or something like that. You know, that was the thing. That was my one thing. I never listened to Jewish music as a kid, I couldn't get to it. So, you know, like I said, I mean, I almost learned and everything, but I, you know, that was my thing. So it was actually my wife's sister who was in seminary then, you know, seminary they get you. She one day, she just said, you know, it's, you do whatever you want, but you know, you have a kid growing up over here. I don't think he should be grown up on it. I said, you're right. So I was, you know, I dusted off some Shlomo Carbach. There were tapes back then that I had. And we had two of them, you know what I mean? So, okay, fine. After the first, it was like totally, it was not. The kid next door, it was my friend's son. So he was into, you know, collecting music and stuff like that. So I stuck him in. He was already up to the CDs. He was like, you know, the progressive guy. So he had this CD, this Yosef Cardoner thing. I was like, well, yeah, let me see. And then he had this Adi Ron or something. I was like, yeah, let me see. It was about like 22 years ago, and they were like, coming out a little, 20, actually, my son's 18, so it's not even news. Yeah, about 17 years ago. Anyways, son, I'm getting outside, okay, fine, let's put it in. You know, look, the covers look cool, you know? So I was like, okay, fine, let me try it, whatever, so you throw it in the thing, radio, and, you know, and the music's good, it's working out, okay, fine. So I was like, okay, this is what we'll do, maybe I'll try to get another couple of them in, this and everything. You know, and every few songs, and like singing, but I'm used to, like I said, Jewish music, is you just take a pasuk and you say it over and over. And they're doing that a little bit, but in between, they're saying these things that sound like they're psukim, but they're just not. They're coming, they're like, you know, they're like these very, like I try to listen to the words, they're interesting, but they're like, these are not psukim, you know, what's going on? Hey, look in the back of the CD cover, Likutei Moran, oh yeah, I heard that breastplate thing, okay. Anyways, I didn't really get too much, you know, into, like I said, of the, you know, what was going on. And, you know, the Hebrew was good music and everything. But then slowly I just started, you know, just picking up around me, you know what I mean? Like once you're, you know, there, you realize it's everywhere, wherever you go. I realized that in the very basement, which is where I learned every night, very litvish place in Har HaNof, up in the top corner over there, there's this thing, this Likutei Moran thing. It's like just sitting. I wasn't even hiding. I used to be like in the upstairs, like a loft kind of thing, like this. And it was, you know, it was in the open. If you like today, I would in a second just see it right there. But like, you know, it was just in the top corner, untouched and everything. So if my chavrusa didn't show up, I used to pull it out. I didn't understand a word that was going on. My mom just didn't understand anything, but I was like, wow, this is amazing. You know? This is Bible. I tried to learn it like a Gemara, you know? And I was like, slowly, and then like suddenly I'm like, you know, just interesting things. I'm like, you know, this guy's talking about grass and trees and animals and singing. You know, like I said, we sung, you know what I mean? We were into music, but like, okay, you know, if it's a wedding, or if it's a bar mitzvah, or if, you know, whatever, you're driving in the car, but whatever, you just I'm just going to sing. I'm like, what's going on over here? And all these items. And, again, he was bringing Gemaras and stuff. It was always like, you know, the Gemaras that you're supposed to skip in Yeshiva. You know, come on. This guy is spending 10 pages on hopping back and forth on these things. Anyways, the message clearly was, and it's like, hey, there's so much out there. There's so much out there. So again, to make a long one, what you call it? And I went to Oman, and of course, and it was the same experience again. Now, I mean, Rosh Hashanah, what's Rosh Hashanah supposed to be like? I mean, it's, you know, basically, I don't think there's anything wrong with considering it's a day that you just want to get over with. Because, if it's supposed to be, you know, like a court case, I mean, that's what it is. I know, if I got a ticket and I got to go to court, I just want to get this thing over with. So that's what Rosh Hashanah was, again, I was brought up, I think, very firm, and you know, I have a good attitude and everything, but like, guys, let's get this over with, you know? So you get there to Oman, these guys, they're dancing, they're singing, they're this, and that. And also, I had like, you know, thing, I'm gonna go there, I'm not gonna, you know, get, which I gotta learn. That's, I'm still in the learning mode, like, you know what I mean? It's great, you know, 3 days just to sit and learn. I did not open a safer. One second, I was just frozen. I was just there, smoking cigarettes, just looking like, wow. Anyways, basically, I'm trying to say, from that point on, I just felt this thing open, wide open, the possibilities, that's what you're getting. That's it. It wasn't even, like I said, in Breslov per se, but in Hasidus, right? The whole thing, that it's connected, it's all based on Kabbalah, which is based on Zohar, which is about this whole other world, you know? It's like this, just look at every thing that it discusses, there's this whole, you know, underpinning of like thousands and thousands of layers, and everything's open. So it's great. But then I come back and suddenly I realize, you know, suddenly I open my eyes and I'm like, okay, you know, so that's it. So we said learning, davening, helping, jumping, singing, dancing, going to weddings, going to funerals, back. I mean, what's going on? You guys, suddenly, now, look what Rabbi Nachman did to me. He just made me the everything guy. You know, maybe he could handle it. Maybe he could handle it. What do you want from me? Just let me go back to my Gemara, please. But it's not happening. It's not happening. That's it. You're stuck now. Hanan's going to call you. The lady with the shirts is going to call you. Your wife is going to make you go shopping. Your son is going to want to leave the Levaya, and you're going to watch him. So, sorry about the overtime, just to finish it. basically, let's go back all the way to where we started. Go back to Avraham Avinu and try to see. And this is in last week's parsha, in the opening, right? In the opening of the parsha, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu Hashem is visiting Avraham Avinu, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is visiting Avraham Avinu. And suddenly he sees there's three guests and he says, God, just one second, I gotta go. Right? Wow. So the Gemara says, Bikan, what do we see from here? We see that what? Gedola Achnasas Arachin, right? Taking in guests is even greater than Akabalas B'nei Shechina. Right? Akabalas is even greater than what? Than basking in the light of the Shechina. Okay, great. So from here I have an answer to maybe many halachic answer to maybe many of our questions that we have today. What do? What's going on? In the middle of learning, guy comes over. Hey, you want to have a smoke outside? I got to ask you something. You know, maybe, I don't know. There's the Torah. Right? Go back to the other one. There's the Torah and there's the Jew. Which one? Which is what's going on over here in this particular case? So again, at least in this situation, I know. I got Akbalas B'nei Shechina. I have a form of Achnasas Arachim. Okay, maybe I have to ask my local rabbi. You know, I don't have a second. You can't. Like I said, with this guy, you're not going to be able to say, just a second, I got to call Rabbi Avadia, find out if I'm allowed to go talk with you. So you have to be able to make that split second decision. But we have precedent for that. We have the other way around. The Gemara says that Talmud Torah, right? We know Talmud Torah Kenegat Kulam. That trumps everything. But again, with this one little caveat, which is brought in Halacha, unless it's a mitzvah which no one else could do besides yourself. So here's Mashiach over here. I'm the only one that could do anything. Okay? So we're back. We get back into stuck in that. So, but Avraham Avinu, Gedolah, sorry, guys have to leave, please. Do. I just, whatever. Like I said, I'm not professional. I don't, you know, whatever. I thought I'd eke 25 minutes out of this. So Avraham Avinu. So the Mefarshim, this is not my question. They said, that's very good. We can learn from here. Gedolah, Achnasas Arachim, the other, right? Achnasas Arachim is greater than Akbalas B'nei Shechina. But how did Avraham Avinu know that? How did he know that? He didn't have Avraham Avinu giving him the precedence. How did he know that? Right? This takes us back, in my opinion, if we get the answer to that, which they do discuss, takes us back to the original question that we started way back when I was asking about the Akedah there also. How did Avraham Avinu know that, yeah, I gotta go through with this. The answer is, they explain, it says in the Pasuk over there, it says, he saw the three men, right? He saw the three men, dot, 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 and it says, and then, Vayar, and he saw, and he ran. So it says he saw twice. He saw them, and it says he saw, and he ran. Rashi already comments on that. Why does it say Vayar? The Vayar twice. Rashi says the second Vayar is he understood. Haven, he understood what's going on. Now, the truth is, I'll be honest, Rashi has his own continuation of what exactly he's understood. It's not so clear over there, but that's the thing, Vayar. So, in the Svarim, HaKadoshim, a few different Svarim, they explain that what happened with Avraham. Avraham was at the point that it was instinctual. Vayar, what did he see? It says, we're talking about over there, he couldn't even stand up. He tried, it says, because he was trying to stand up. Hashem said, sit, you're weak, you're weak. You just had a first meal. He didn't have anything. What's Vayar? Vayar, he saw it. Suddenly, you know what? Suddenly, I can run. Suddenly, I can run. Vayar, Vayarat. He saw that Vayarat, that I can run. He just understood, this must be what I got to do right now. This is it. This is what I have to do. This is what I have to do. He jumped and he ran there. So he didn't. No, if you would have asked him beforehand, if you would have asked Avraham Avinu beforehand, what do you think is greater? Hachnas is Archon, my post, Pnei Shechina. He couldn't necessarily give you the answer. It wasn't until he was there, at that moment, he had that instinct to see where it came from, which told him. Getting back, this reminds me, getting back to that story, we never finished that, with the Sefer Torah. Right. The guy drops the Sefer Torah. So he said that the other Rosh Hashiva, he was, right? He was the one that had his finger on every sip in the Shulchan Aruch, right? And he said, pick up the rabbi first. So the kid, they asked him afterwards, you know, where'd you get that from? How do you know? Pick up the rabbi first. So he's like, I don't know. Like, you don't know? What do you mean? We also didn't know. We went for the Sefer Torah and you went for that. Anyways, of course, within moments, he said, listen, there is a Gemara that says, the Gemara says, how foolish, right, are people right? That will stand up for a Sefer Torah, but they won't stand up for a Talmud Chacham. He says, why are they foolish? Because the Torah, right? The Torah, for instance, says that you give a person 40 lashes, and comes along the Talmud Chacham and says, no, we're going to reinterpret the Torah. It doesn't mean 40, it means 39. So that shows that the Talmud Chacham is more important than the Sefer Torah, because he is the one that translates, that the Torah is, without the Talmud Chacham, is nothing. So he said that, he goes, you know, I think based on that, I was correct. But in actuality, when it happened, he also said, I didn't think that way. It was just instinctual. What Avraham Avinu had was, basically what I'm thinking, it's going to get, it's a little bit tricky, maybe you're going to have to tie this together yourselves, already, what you call, but those two things, remember we talked about that conflict, there's God, that's where he was in front of Hashem, right? In the Torah, God's word, which we'll call the Torah, and then he has other things, the Yisrael, the Jew. Avraham Avinu was able to fuse those two together. He was a walking Torah. Avraham Avinu, right, was not walking away from Hashem when he went ahead to do that. When he went ahead to do that, to do the Gemilas Chasadim. That was the way the Torah is now on the move. The Torah packed bags for a minute and it's going. The word of Hashem is going. Avraham Avinu was able to do that. And that was in his instincts. Some want to say that, even explain that's the way he kept the whole Torah, right? The Gemara says he kept the whole Torah. I didn't keep the whole Torah. He didn't learn the Torah either. So, again, on some level, right, say every limb of your body, right, every limb of your body represents, right? That's even brought in Halacha. The Mishnah Berurah brings it up. He says, remember, you should try to make sure to do every mitzvah at least once, because every mitzvah represents another limb of the body, and, you know, a person in the next world, chas v'shalom, if he didn't take care of a particular mitzvah, he might be, you know, missing that kind of limb. So it's a real thing. So they say Avraham Avinu had perfected himself so much that his limbs almost cried out the mitzvahs, and that's why he knew that's what he knew what to do. Again, it might be, like I said, a little bit lofty, but conceptually, we try to bring out of this thing is, yeah, there is an idea where I gotta have that instinct. I gotta be the Torah. Now, how do you do that? So. What I have is there are two eights which are really one. I'll tell you a little, just very quickly, a little story which I heard back then. Also, Nicole used to tell. By the Rosh Hashiva, he was a student of Rav Shach, right? A student of Rav Shach, Zecher Tzadik with Rav. Guys, again, I'm serious. If anybody has to leave, it's totally okay. So it was these guys, they were studying late in the Beis Medrash one night, and they had a question. They had a question. It was in Panovich Yeshiva, right? Late at night, 12:30, 1 o'clock in the morning, and they had a question. They reached an impasse in Tosfos, and they just couldn't do it. They're like, you know what, let's just go ask Rav Shach. You know, he's up for sure, he's up. They say he stays up all night, he's been learning everything for sure. Let's go ask him. So the yeshiva, he lives right across the street. They go out. Well, sure enough, they look in the window, and there he is, pouring over his Gemara, right? Learning. Okay, great. So they tap lightly on the door. You know, doesn't hear anything. Of course, a little bit louder. And finally, he's like, okay. Walks over and he's like, you know, it was his students, I think, actually. You know, they were in the shir. So you know, sorry to bother Rebbe, but you know, we've been learning. And, This is the question that we have. Maybe you could help us? He's like, sure, come in. Hey, tell the question. And he's thinking. He says, good question. You know? Good question. Honestly, I can't. I don't know what the answer is. But what I could tell you guys is as follows. That tomorrow morning, you get a daven, just before davening, before Shema, right? There's, right, in the prayer of Ahava Solam or Ahava Rabba, he probably said Ahava Rabba, actually. There is, over there, he says, it's an interesting thing. You find the one prayer, the one supplication which uses language which you don't find in anything. He says, what do you say? You say over there, Avinu, Avarachamon, right? Our Father, merciful Father, Hamarachim, the merciful one, Rachim Aleinu, please have mercy on us. I mean, what could you be possibly asking for, right? I mean, this is probably, you can imagine a guy hanging at the edge of a cliff, right, with one hand, and they go, Vito, Avarachamon, Avarachim, Rachim, Aleinu, this is everything. He says, but what's your request? The same Bilibeinu, please place it in our heart, right, Lishmoa, to listen. Lilmod, to learn. Lami, to teach. Lahavin, lahaskil, to understand. Right? Lishmor v'las. Divrei Torah Sefer. He says, you know what? This question has to do with that question. You know, this is not something, you know, I'm a smart guy. No one's going to answer this question. If you want to get this answer, you got to go to him. And in that thing, tomorrow morning, you've got to ask for that. You've got to ask for it. Okay, so this was the story. It was great. Again, my Rosh Hashiva trying to, you know, point out that that's, you know, but again, it's interesting. I won't get into it. Fine. At any rate, what I took out of that, I said, you know what? Rav Shach is great and everything. The story is great. But there's another piece to that. Shmoa, Lilmo, Galami, Lishmor, Velaso. Right? It finishes off, right? Lishmor, Velaso is to do, and it says, love, and, right? To understand. So that understanding is not just going on the learning. Right? Again, he needed it for his particular thing. But the understanding is to go on that. Go to the matzah. I mean, what understanding do you need to do my mitzvah? Let's get the rules. Let's just go do it. No, I understand that this is what that davening is about. In other words, we're asking Hashem to give us that thing, to have that instinct. That instinct, the same belibeinu bina, right? Place in our hearts the understanding of all that, in order to be able to learn and to place it, make it as part of us. That's one place. But even more so, that's what I said in the Sichas Aran, which to me, I think that's ultimately what the Rebbe's talking about over there is. I mean, I just find it where it is. It's right in the beginning. You don't have to go past Bays over there. Those Bays over there. So he talks about it and he says, you know what I do? Right? He says, you know what I like to do? Rav Nachman says, right? There's so many things going on in the world. And Rav Nachman was like me. He wanted to do everything right. He wanted to be a Mashiach. He wanted everything. I wanted everything. But he's like, you know what? There's so many crazy things that get thrown my way every single day. There's no way. There's no way I can handle everything at once. So he says, you know, I have a good idea. Why should it be my responsibility? Right? You know what I'm going to do? When I get up in the morning, I'm going to turn to Hashem. And I say, listen, Hashem, there's a lot of things that are going to happen today. Do me a favor. Do me a favor. You're capable. Power, right? So do me a favor. Could you just work it out that everything that I do today is L'Shem Shemayim? Could you make sure that I make all the right decisions? Could you make sure that everything works out for me? And at the end, Nisichas Aran, also he brings that in conjunction, the same thing with when we say in davening and Ashkivena, right? We know that breast lovers are bigger than the second. Einu ve'etza toivu v'fanecha, right? Please give us the right etza. Now, regular people that hear this, they're a little bit, you know, nervous about this, because we know, I'm finishing right over here, that Hakol bidei shamayim chutz meyir shamayim. Right? We're told that everything is in the hands, right? Anything that happens to a person during the day, right, has to do with, you know, it's bidei shamayim, it's bina shamayim, except for one thing, except for yir shamayim, which seems to say, basically, yir shamayim is your own business. Hashem is not going to go ahead, right, and do things for you when it comes to that. That's our avodah. So now I'm able to go along and I'm able to say, yeah, listen, you know what, Hashem, instead of me being the one to make all the decisions in life, instead of me, but you go do me a favor, just make everything work out. Make everything work out. I mean, can I do that? So, from what I understand, right? I'm sure there are different explanations, but from what I understand is what Rav Nachman is saying. Hakol bidei shamayim chutz meyir shamayim. It's right. The book. It's in your hands. But what would a responsible person do? So what told you? He said, do me a favor. Hold on to this $1 billion for me. You know, what are you going to do with it? You're going to hold on to the $1 million? Or you're going to run to the bank? And you're going to say, Mr. Bankman, do me a favor. You're the only one that can hold on to this thing. And that would be the most responsible thing to do. So he says, you're right, it's in your hands, but that doesn't disqualify finding someone to help you. Quite the contrary. If you realize that life is overwhelming. Life is overwhelming. There's no way, but I want to do everything right. The only one who could be Messiah for things for me is HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So that itself, in all earnest, davening to Hashem, asking Hashem, do me a favor, work it out, make things, send things in the way that you want it. That is your effort. Now, the only thing is, of course, that does not exempt, right? That does not exempt one. Again, remember the guy who was walking with his wife down Ben Yehuda Street, right? He's not getting any points, right? If he's there because he wants to be on Ben Yehuda Street instead of learning. He's getting his points because he is listening to his Rebbe and he's spending time with his wife. So the same thing over here. If I just dump everything on Hashem, so now I can just go to the beach and, you know, Hashem sent her walking in front of me, you know? That can't go. Of course, you can't even for a moment shirk your responsibility. But what I have is I have a net. I have that net. I'm able to go with the confidence, right? Go with confidence and accept, make my decisions during the day. I promise you, every one of these dilemmas is somewhere in the Shulchan Aruch. But forget about it. You know what I mean? On the moment, whatever. Like I said, we should all be zeichah to learn everything all the time, whatever. But that's not the answer right now, for me at least, right? It's what you call. You got to go with your instinct, right? Where's the instinct? My instinct has to be only, I've got to become the Avraham Avinu guy. I got to be the walking Torah. I got to be pulling that way. That I could do, again, with the most positive intentions, but also, and most importantly, at least at this point, using Rav Shach's Eitzah and the davening, which is implanted there, using his Eitzah of the Rebbe, which is to just, you know, on your way in the morning, to say, listen, Hashem, do me a favor. You know, send everything that it should be, HaKol L'Ritzayim. Yeah.